just get in the old...
Martin?
Hiya, Cressy!
Hello. Sorry, what's going on here? Where are you? This isn't your room.
I'm in the car, actually.
Right.
I'm in a car park, and I just thought, I'm a little pushed for time, so I just thought I'd record the podcast here.
Oh, great. So I'm really glad to see how much the podcast matters to you, that you've now just taken to recording it in a car.
No, think of it this way. It matters to me so much that I will even take time out of my day, no matter where I am, to sit in a car park in a car and record the podcast. That is how much this podcast matters to me, talking Eurovision with you, Laura Kress, on Nullpois!
Nullpois is shameful.
Nullpois is lack of respect for Eurovision.
It's the ultimate humiliation.
The shame that they must be feeling.
Nullpois is no fun.
There we go. Yes, I'm Laura. That's Martin in a car. You know, Martin, I think this is the most Alan Partridge you've ever gone recording a podcast in a car park. It's amazing.
Do you want me to tell you what I can see from the car window?
Probably cars.
Well,
there are
other cars, but I've got a great view of a road, and there's an apartment block just over from me, and from it, loads of windows, and from those windows, loads of England flags, because Euros are still very much on, and lots of people supporting the national team here, and so people with their England flags all over the place.
I love that this sounds like he's now gone full reporter, as if like he's describing, setting the scene, giving a bit of colour to the situation. Bless you, Martin.
Well, I am.
But you're just in a car park. in a car park, dear.
Yes. Yeah, I am just in a car park. But I'm here to bring you some great, interesting stuff to talk about, as is Laura Kress. We are here for Nullpois. It's the UK Eurovision fan podcast, and we don't know everything about Eurovision. We don't know anything about car parks.
No.
But we're trying to learn, and we're trying to get better, and that's hopefully what we're going to bring you over the next little while. On the way, talking about why one particular country that does normally take part in the Eurovision won't be doing so still, and the Italian winners have just got on board with a record label, and there's a bit of a twist to this, so you'll find out which record label they've signed with and why it's possibly hilarious. And of course, trivia time. So all of that on the way here on Nullpois. But we start with Turkey.
We do indeed. So this is news that perhaps Turkey might be returning to the Eurovision, because you'll recall the last time they took part was 2012 with their song Love Me Back. That was in Baku. But it looks like there's a possible return. Basically, what's happened is that the EBU has kind of said, although the Turkish member TRT hasn't participated since 2012, we know there's still huge interest in Turkey in the contest. With that in mind, we're in contact with TRT, which is the broadcaster, with the aim of bringing them back into the competition. They've made a huge contribution to the contest in the past, including hosting the event, of course, in Istanbul in 2004 when Turkey won in 2003. We'd very much welcome them back should they decide to participate again. So it's interesting, but I think people forget, because there's so many countries now that take part in the Eurovision, that actually there's quite a few that don't.
Yeah, and do we know why Turkey decided that it wouldn't be taking part following 2012? I mean, did something happen? Did they get annoyed?
I don't actually know that, Martin. I'd have to have a quick look about that up. It could well have been, as does happen with a lot of countries, they decided to pull out due to sort of funding issues. We're going to be talking about that with Bosnia and Herzegovina coming up. But basically, I think that could have been an issue, because it is expensive to take part in these things. There is, especially if you're hosting it as well. But obviously, even if you're participating, it is a lot to take part in. Sometimes broadcasters do pull out.
What was the country? Do you remember this last year? There was a country that said it was pulling out of Eurovision because they were going to spend the money on some cars instead. Was it Romania?
I think it might have been. I think we'll have to look that up as well. I can tell you right now, I'll give you, I've just done a bit of Googling here. So TRT, the broadcaster, they apparently announced their withdrawal from the 2013 contest on 14th of December, citing dissatisfaction with the rules of the competition. And they've yet to return. So it actually wasn't a funding issue. They weren't happy with the rules as it stood. And they cited the same reasons in 2014, and they've yet to return.
Interesting stuff. I am just remembering one of my favourite songs from Turkey, which is actually mentioned here on the Eurovision website, the 2003 one that they won with, which went, every way that I can, I try to make you love me again, every way that I can. And then it went, I try, boom, boom, make you mine again, 2, 3, 4. So that's how it went, just if you need to
now, just imagine
jogging.
Everyone, he's doing that in the middle of a car park. yeah, very good, Martin. That was excellent. Yeah, that's the one that won it for them. I can tell you, by the way, what they were annoyed about, what they didn't like about the rules of the competition. It was apparently the changes to the televoting system, where a jury was introduced and the significance of televoting decreased by 50%. They didn't like that. So that's got them out. And it's interesting whether they would change their mind about that, because obviously that's not change. It's still the same. But apparently they are in talks with the EBU, or the EBU is trying to court them at least to get them back.
Well, we miss you, Turkey. Come back soon.
Come back soon, Turkey. Unless you don't want to, in which case, fair enough. Now, it's a bit of a running theme for this episode, because we're also looking into, as I mentioned, Bosnia and Herzegovina. They have actually confirmed they're still unable to participate at Eurovision, and that's because of an unpaid debt to the EBUs.
It's a sort of, it sounds kind of petty, doesn't it? And I'm sure it isn't, but it sort of reminds me of, oh, well, you shouldn't use the milk in the fridge in the office fridge because you haven't actually paid your subs, so you shouldn't be using that milk. It's actually everybody else's milk. It kind of sounds like that.
Basically, they last competed in 2016. They've been unable to compete since 2017 because of sanctions from an unpaid debt. The broadcasters now said the sanctions remain. They're still not in a good position to pay that debt. So, I mean, it's about, well, they've put about 5.5 million euros they owe.
That's a lot of money.
Yes, that's what I say when you're saying about the fridge thing. I was like, well, actually, it's quite a lot of money, Martin.
It's a lot of milk, isn't it?
It's a lot of milk. Yeah, I guess that would be like what, 5 million quid, roughly, something like that. You know, I'm not going to try that. Then dollars, etc., etc. You know, work it out, people. You can just go on Google and work it out yourself. But anyway, yeah, so these sanctions remain because they haven't paid back the debt, which I actually think is kind of fair enough, because otherwise everyone else would be like, well, we've paid. And yet Bosnia and Herzegovina get to go in even though they haven't paid back their debt. So I think it's kind of fair that they aren't allowed back in until they... it also means, by the way, they can't even broadcast Eurovision. They're not allowed to do anything to do with it. They can't even broadcast it until they're able to pay off this debt. It does sound sort of mafia-like as well, this idea of paying off the debt. But there you go. So it's interesting. There's all these things at work, as well as obviously having a good song and getting into the finals. You know, that there's all these different reasons why sometimes countries can't take part.
This is Null Poir, and still to come, going to be doing trivia time, where Laura and I tell you a kind of bonkers fact from the crazy world of Eurovision. Because as we say every week, we are trying to learn about this thing as well. We definitely don't know everything there is to know, and we're always amazed by some of the stuff that we find out. So that is still to come. But turning our attention now back to this year and the winners, Italy, Maneskin, that brilliant rock song that so captured the imagination of the European voting public and the jury there as well, sending them to victory in Rotterdam. And I'm always interested, Cress, as to what happens after someone's won the Eurovision Song Contest, because sometimes you do hear more about them at the competition. For example, our good friend Mons, who always performs Heroes at every given opportunity.
You know, a little known band called ABBA as well.
They've done some stuff following Eurovision, but some of them will disappear into obscurity and you don't hear about them. So I'm always interested to know what becomes of the Eurovision winners, and we know a little bit about what the future has in store for Måneskin.
We do indeed, and I'm sorry, I do realise they have a Danish name, and I'm sorry that if we will consistently pronounce it wrong, but that, you know, it's confusing. It's an Italian band with a Danish name, but there you go. Yes, but as you said, it is a bit awkward, Martin. So basically, once they'd won the competition, they basically kind of sacked their longtime manager, who posted this quite awkward Instagram pic after it happened at the beginning of June, saying, it almost like a breakup, saying, "We spent four unforgettable years full of dreams to fulfill and projects to realize. I've brought you this far. From now, you've decided to continue without me. I'm heartbroken, but I wish you guys the best in life."
I'm heartbroken and absolutely livid.
Yes. Well, it's awkward, isn't it? Like, very awkward post to put out. Clearly, she wasn't expecting it. Their manager, Marta Donna is her name. And so a little bit awkward. They clearly, I think basically they've been thinking, we want to conquer Europe now. We're done with Italy. We've conquered Italy a long time ago. Now it's the world's our oyster, and maybe just thought they needed a shake-up. So there's been two names that have been sort of doing the rounds of who their manager could be. Now, one of them is a Italian, which might not surprise you, Italian guy called Fabrizio Ferragusa. Again, Ferraguso, even. I won't have pronounced that right. I definitely didn't. So media have been suggesting that could be one of the people on the rumour mill. But another name that I think people will probably know a little bit better is Simon Cowell, has been brought up as a possible successor. Simon Cowell, apparently.
He of high trousers fame.
Now, Fabrizio Ferraguso, I don't really know much about. I don't know. He could be a sort of equivalent of Simon. Apparently, he's a sort of external consultant for Sony Music Italy, and he's musical director of X Factor, which obviously, you know, it's a talent show that launched the band. So that's, you know, he's got contacts with them. He's got contacts within Italy. But maybe if they're looking for more of a sort of global approach, Simon Cowell, I guess, could be a choice. I mean, Simon Cowell is just basically getting his fingers in all the pies, isn't he?
And who can blame him? In a way, what this speaks to is the fact that Eurovision does seem to be becoming a lot more mainstream. I don't think, even 10 years ago, Simon Cowell, this huge name in music publishing and music record deals, I don't think he would have touched a Eurovision act with a barge pole. But now he's wanting to get involved.
I think it's a good point. And it does point to Måneskin's as well, popularity, because not long ago, they were eighth in the UK chart, which is, again, considering, you know, they're an Italian band, they mainly sing in Italian, that's kind of mental too.
Yeah, it kind of is. And I just think that is fascinating, isn't it? Really, really interesting. Well, all the best of luck to Måneskin, and hopefully that change works out for them and they don't live to regret the decision to oust the person that they've been with for 4 years. I'm sure there's no bad blood there at all.
No.
Hello from the car. It is Martin and it is Laura, not in a car. I am just sitting in my car in a car.
Do you want to give a little
Shall
beep on your horn?
Going on?
Do you want to give a beep on your horn?
I was thinking about that. There are people around. There's a woman walking her dog. Okay. I wonder if it's going to scare her. I'm going to do it. Hold on. Here we go. Ready? Okay, 3, 2, 1.
A light one.
Okay. A light beep. Oh. It's not.
Is it not doing it?
I think I have to turn the car on.
I've got to turn it on.
Okay. Hold on. Christ. I've got to start the car up now. See, now look what you're making me do. Okay. Right. You ready?
Yep.
Ready for the beep?
Yep.
3, 2, 1. There it was. Okay, I'm done.
Well done. Did anyone look? Did she look at you? She looking at you?
She's gone, but there is a taxi driver who looks a bit confused. I think we're all right.
Well done. Thank you. We approved there.
Anyway, it's time to do something now, isn't it, Chris? I'll ask you what time it is. You tell me what time it is.
I can tell you what time it is. It's trivia time!
Yes, it's the bit of the podcast where Chris, in this case, gives you a little bit of information about the Eurovision Song Contest that you didn't know, that we didn't know, to find out a bit more information about it. What you got this time, Chris?
Yeah, and this is, I'll be honest, Martin, this is a really good one. I'm going to blow my own trumpet here. You've tooted your own horn. I'm going to blow my own trumpet. Thank you very much. Now, I'll be interested if you know about this one. Can you name the only African country to have ever participated in the Eurovision Song Contest? The only African country to have ever taken part in the contest.
Oh, I'm just trying to think. Could it be? I mean, it's going to be North Africa, isn't it? So, what? Someone like Egypt, maybe? I don't remember Egypt ever being in it.
Yes, you wouldn't, because they weren't.
Right.
The answer is Morocco. Oh, they took part.
I wasn't far. I wasn't a million miles away.
Yeah. No. Yeah, you're still wrong. But it was the 1980 contest. It's a little bit awkward. Basically, they took part, and people might be saying, what? Morocco? But hey, we've got Australia.
Yeah,
so it
I
does
was just
happen.
Thinking that. They haven't got a leg to stand on now. Morocco, definitely.
Not really.
Morocco can join in, because at least they can see Europe, unless you can actually see it.
Yes, well, if they had a telescope, maybe. But yeah, basically, it's open to all members of the European Broadcasting Union, as we know. And that group contains countries in North Africa and the Middle East. So Tunisia actually was the only African country that had intended to compete, but then withdrew. That was at the 1977. But then in 1980, Morocco took part. It sang a song called Bittercat Hub, which translates to love card. And it was the first song to be sung in Arabic in the contest as well. Now, this is awkward. I will say this. Moroccan singer Samira Benassaid sang it. Now, unfortunately, even though it was the first time taking part, they performed fifth on the night, but they only got 7 points. They finished second to last. And they've never taken part again. They've never taken part again after that. They took part once. They came second to last, and they withdrew. They've never taken part.
Oh goodness! Since. Imagine a situation where you don't get any points from anybody, and you end up absolutely rock bottom last. It would be really embarrassing, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it'd be weird to like keep going with that. But yes, that is not what Morocco did. They thought, well, that's not very good, and they stopped at one. Good on you, Morocco, for knowing when to quit. And there you go. Yeah, a little bit of trivia for you there. Very interesting. I thought that the only African country to ever participated. They have been in talks again now and then to take part, but nothing's really come of it. So there you go. Who knows? Maybe they will be the only ever African country to have taken part, and the first song to be sung in Arabic as well.
Very, very good. Thank you very much. And a great little bit of information there on Cressy.
Trivia time!
Yes, thank you very much for that. Almost at the end of the podcast now, and I think it's sort of worked all right here from the car.
Yes.
Maybe this is the
what
sign.
What can you see now? Can you see anything
nothing
exciting?
Really has changed.
Nothing.
There's
great.
Some people, they're just walking home from, school. I think there's a school child walking back. He's got his lunchbox in his hand. And I think there's a little bit of traffic just up ahead, a bit of a traffic jam I can see. But thankfully, that's not affecting me at the moment.
Great.
Because I'm
here
in the
car. You could be a
travel
reporter with this kind of information.
Yes, I could tell you all the problems on the A6, couldn't I?
Yes.
That would be of great benefit and great interest. It wouldn't, of course, but don't worry, I shan't be doing that. Instead, I'm going to, ask you, Chris, to see if anybody's been getting in contact with a bit of correspondence. Anybody had anything to say about the many things we've discussed on previous podcasts?
Well, thank you for that, Martin. And did you know, I just wanted to check, that we have a YouTube channel.
Oh, for goodness sake. I know we've got a YouTube channel. I was on it.
Yeah.
I was there when we recorded it.
Okay.
You don't need to keep asking me.
I just wanted to check.
From the last time you asked me.
All right,
I know we've got one.
I just wanted to make sure you knew, because we've had lots of comments on our YouTube channel. It's called Null Poir. If you want to check it out, do check us out, because on that channel, we basically go through the previous entries to Eurovision that scored Null Poir and decide, we react to them. We decide, you can see our lovely faces as well. We decide if they deserved Norpois. We'd listen to them again and decide. And we'd love you to join in the conversation afterwards. Do you agree with our decisions? Now, thank you to all the people who got in contact with our first ever one we did a while ago, which was, did Norway's Jahn Teigen deserve Norpois? Thank you to, I think it's pronounced Ylva Homalong. Thank you very much for your comments saying, literally everyone in Norway loved Jahn Teigen. Such a lovely man. He has, of course, passed away fairly recently. So thank you very much for that, Ylva. And May Lan said, he released this version after the Eurovision. I loved it. Back then, this was great pop music. And that's Millet Emil. He released a version of it after the competition. So a lot of love for Jahn Teigen on the YouTube, I would say. Thank you for all your thoughts and comments on that. I think a lot of people agreed with us that he didn't deserve Norpois.
Yeah, we didn't think that. And yeah, nice to hear a lot of people agreeing with us, because that's what I want. I want pure agreement on everything that we say is correct. Although we can never agree between ourselves anyway. No, yeah. All right.
No.
Thank you very much.
No, we can't.
Please do keep those correspondence coming in. We're always interested in everything that you have to say. We genuinely are. Love hearing from you. And Cress will have the ways to get in touch in just a second. I want to very quickly point you in the direction of some of the other podcasts that are available to have a listen to right now. If you look back in your stream, the last one we did, we had a fascinating conversation with Cress, a chap who makes the entire Eurovision Song Contest shot for shot remake out of Lego. And what an interesting conversation that was.
Yes, it really was. We should point out, Martin says, I'll let you know about the other podcasts. We mean the other episodes. And for a second, I thought Martin was just going to start advertising other podcasts.
Don't listen to any other podcasts. No, no, no. I mean, listen to this podcast, but other episodes. Of it. That's what I was trying to say.
I was thinking, Martin, what you're doing. Yeah, but it's true. This the previous episode we did with was with Alexandro Kruger. Excellent, excellent. Listen, he was such a great guy. And as you said, he recreates the entire final of Eurovision and Junior Eurovision from Lego. It takes him months and months to do it, shot by shot. And he condenses it down to about 8 minutes. Really great listen. He told us a lot of fascinating things, including the fact that he gets death threats for doing it, which was mad.
That was really shocking, wasn't it?
Yeah, it really was.
I couldn't believe that he said that. It was really, really hard to hear, actually. And we really felt for him when he told us that. Must have been really, really, really difficult for him every year to do something that he loves so much to do and just does it for, you know, it's just a bit of fun. And then he gets death threats. It's just, it's mind-boggling and so, so sad. But it was a pleasure to talk to him and a really, really interesting listen. So do go back and catch up on that if you get a moment. And also, if you get a moment, please do get in touch. And here are the ways you can do that.
Indeed, here are the ways you could do it. Of course, go to the YouTube channel. It's just called Norpois. You'll find it there. If you want to find us on Instagram, we're Norpois Podcast on Instagram. We try and put, you know, pics up when we've got the episodes up and stuff behind the scenes. Maybe, Martin, do you want to take a little snap of yourself in the car? We'll put that up on Instagram before this episode.
Oh, sure, I'll do that. Yeah, I'll do that.
Good, we'll put that up. You can see what Martin's doing in his weird little car. Twitter...
It's not a weird little car. It might be a weird little situation. It's not a weird car.
Anyway, on Twitter, we're at Poinul, PoinTSNUL. And then finally, if you want to email us, it's nopoinpodcast@gmail.com.
Thank you very much. And that is it from me in the car. I think I might get out of it now. I'm starting to steam up the windows because I've been talking too much and I haven't had the fans blowing. So I'm going to get out
talking
now.
Talking a lot of hot air.
Well, you could argue that and you'd be right. So I'm going to go and have a little walk now. And thank you very much for listening to this edition of Norpois. And Laura and I will be back very, very soon. We'll see you again on the next edition of Norpois. Extricate myself from the car now. I'm sort of wrapped up in wires.